Thank you, young man. Live a life that points to Christ. Amen. That's what we all need to do. Let the light shine. Amen. I'm going to turn everything over here to Brother Parsons. And you might as well just do what you're going to do with the students. And amen. I'm going to go out here and sit down and enjoy it.
Amen. Well, I want to say this to our young people. Thank God for you. Amen. And they ain't all bad folks. There's some good ones. Amen. But let me say and address to you, I'm proud of you. And you're doing a great job. There was a great amount of talent that was shown tonight. And it's my heart's desire and prayer to the Lord that you'd use that for the Lord Jesus Christ. That you spend your life in the work of Christ, amen, and doing something for him, whether you do that as a layman or whether you do that in the work of God and getting paid by the church, but you do it for you spend your life for Christ, amen. And there's a lot of that given to you, amen. I saw a lot of talent this evening, and that came from God above, amen. And he invested it in you. How are you going to spend it, amen? Boy, you did a good job, amen, amen. That was my son, by the way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to have a few testimonies and we'll have some preaching tonight. And we're going to start off with Brother Bavon. I'll stay here so I can introduce the preacher. And if you guys could be short tonight because we are a little bit, not late, but you guys press on, all right? But give them what you need to tell them, all right? Come on and start us off.
Hi, my name is Bavon. I would like to thank Pastor Mickey Carter for allowing us to go to Pastor Larry Hobbs' church. I want to thank Brother Parsons for teaching me how to soul win. And I want to say that it was a blessing to go to the church where the pastor who brought me here. And yeah.
Amen.
My partners were Levi, Lowther, Lydia, and Laura. They all just walked to the front. And So me and my partner Levi, we would like soul win whatever, and we would get to the door, and when I get to the plan of salvation, I would just start like, you know, just na 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 na. So we came up with a plan where I would go through the intro questions and he would go through the plan of salvation, and they would just go, like I would go from the intro and he would just go, well, bow, like they don't even have a chance to say, yeah, sure, go through it. So like, and I was able to see five saved, just like that.
Amen.
And I want to tell like a little story because it just amazed me what God can do. And it was the last day. Sorry, I'm shaking. You know, turn around. There's a whole bunch of people.
Amen.
But I happened to trip and mess up my ankle, and it was all swollen. I couldn't walk. So because they needed space in the van, I had to sit on the side of the road. And and I was like, yeah, I don't want to watch people go knock on doors, so I tied my shoelace around my ankle so I could have support and wobble on down the street. And I saw my partner just going door to door, and he said, thank you for coming, because without you, it was the last house on the street, and there was a person came outside, and we were deciding whether to leave it on the car because there was a whole bunch of dogs outside. And yeah, we don't do dogs. And so a young lady came outside, and it was two huskies, a pit bull and an American bulldog. They would not stop barking. And I basically sat back and let him do the talking. And I just sat there and prayed that the lady would understand what he was saying. And all you saw was the dogs walk away. And one stayed and just lay down and be quiet. And she was able
Amen.
To receive Christ as Savior.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Bavon. Amen. For those of you, as she comes, come on, Lydia. And as for those of you that are visiting with us, I'm sorry that I didn't preface this, but we just did this on Sunday night. And so our college went out for Soul Winning Marathon. We went up to Palm Coast Baptist Church, and we spent about 3 days soul winning, solid 3 days. We were there 4 days, a partial day of the fourth day, and we went soul winning each day. And our college does this every year. We call it our Soul Winning Marathon. And so these are testimonies of our young people. We do this just before spring break, and then they get to go home. And there's nothing better to do before you go home to be able to be on the top side is to share the gospel with somebody else. And so you go ahead, Lydia.
Good evening, church. I'm Lydia. This is my second Soul Winning Marathon. I just want to start by saying thank you for letting us, sending us. That was, it was a big blessing to me to get to go door knocking for those 4 days. We I personally didn't get to see anyone saved, but I got to share the gospel with a whole bunch of people, so that was a huge blessing. And like the whole time we were out there, they were always telling us, you know, this is a really raw area, and there's no other soul winning church around here, so this is pretty much the first time any of these people have heard the gospel. And just one person that really drove that point home, there was this one guy, and he was in his 90s, and he said he wasn't a great-grandpa, he wasn't a great-great-grandpa, but he was a great-great-great-grandpa. And he said his whole life he'd lived in the area. He'd never had a Baptist ever knock on his door. He'd had several like Jehovah's Witnesses and a couple Mormons, but never a Baptist, so he'd never heard the truth before. So I got to go through the gospel with him, and he said he didn't want to make a decision then, and so I wrote his name on a card and everything, and for them to follow up on him. So but it just showed you how like they really hadn't really had anybody in the area. So thank you for sending us, and it was a lot of fun. So
good evening, I'm Laura, and this is my first time going on Soul Winning Marathon. It was such a blessing. I want to thank the church for letting us go, and especially Pastor Carter for giving us this opportunity. Soul winning is something that I'm afraid to do because I hate talking to people, but then I was just blessed that God was able to use me. I didn't win souls, but I was able to plant some seeds, and I just pray for those seeds to grow, and that those seeds will go into trees, and those trees will just, you know, make more fruits. And so I just want to thank you all for letting us go, and yeah, that's all.
Amen. Amen.
I'm Steve Murilla, and this was my first soul winning marathon, and I led five people to the Lord. Amen. And there was this scenario whereby I was just talking to a guy, and the guy was like, oh, you guys are very good, but do you know what? Don't knock to that door, don't knock to that door, and don't knock to that. So I was like, wow, why are you saying that? It was like, we already received Jesus Christ, our personal savior, but you guys are just disturbing us because they are just like, they're just having something like, I guess a party. So I was like, oh, you already received Jesus Christ, but I can just see you are, maybe you're taking some wines, and because they are just having liquors. Then he was like, no, do you know what? I can shoot you with these rifles right now. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Just then he just like, just go and God bless you. Then, I met like, there was this guy who was a Buddha. He was just shouting a lot. And when I told him about like Revelation 21:8, he was just like scared and all that. Brother Parson was there. He was just laughing at me and was like, oh, cause that guy was really shouting. Like, yeah. But there was this, there was this teenager where I led him to the Lord, cause he never heard about Jesus Christ. And when I told him about that, he got saved. And after that, his sister was just coming from school. Then when his sister came over, he was just asking me, what are you telling my brother? And then I told her everything. Then she just started crying, and just she received Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And then there was this lady, she told me she was 71, and she was a Catholic, and she never had the book of Romans or Revelation. But when I went through the plan of salvation, she got saved, and yeah, thank you, church. Thank you, Dr. Bradley, for just teaching us personal evangelism, and
amen.
Brother Mickey Carter and Brother Parson and Dr. Pitts, thank you very much. And together is Miss Kelly. Have a good day, church.
Amen. Ruth. Amen.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Elliot Ngampo. This is my third year soul winning marathon. Soul winning has always been something that I struggle with because I'm a very introverted person by nature, so I kind of struggle with talking with people I don't really know. And a couple of weeks leading up to soul winning marathon, I started praying, asking God to help me lead at least one person to the Lord this year. And I started getting a boldness more as soul winning. And the Thursday before we left for soul winning marathon, I was able to lead a girl about my age to the Lord. And I was really happy, and it helped me be even more excited for soul winning marathon. So the first day, I didn't get to lead anyone to the Lord. But on the second day, on that street where I did end up leading someone to the Lord, I told the Lord, I asked him to help me lead one person to the Lord on this street. And I did. The last house on that street, I was able to lead a young boy to the Lord. Interesting story. My soul winning partners were Steve, Leah, and Brother Bentecourt. So that street that I led the young boy to the Lord crossed with another street, and we did that street first. And as we were going by, Brother Bentecourt led two men to the Lord in the back of the house, and then we came back and did the street that crossed it. So I led the young boy of the same house, from the same house, to the Lord, and I just, it was just wonderful to see how God works. So thank you for sending us, and thank you for your prayers.
Amen.
Hello, everyone. I am Lee Markowski, and this is my second soul winning marathon. Actually, I went last year, even though I wasn't in the college. I'm a freshman this year, but it was definitely a huge blessing, again, to be able to go. Like they said, like my soul winning partners were Ruth and then Steve and Brother Bentecourt. The Lord gave me the opportunity to lead four people to the Lord, and that was a huge blessing. One of them was an older gentleman, you know, and I went up, and honestly, when I go and I witness to older people, I just kind of think, I don't know, like they've already lived a life and they kind of are already set in their views. So I'm like, you know, oh, well, I'll give the plan of salvation anyways, you know, whatever happens, the Lord will work with that. But, you know, I go up and this man was a veteran. And at first he kind of like, I don't know, he seemed like he was kind of pushing me away a little bit. But I kept going on with plan of salvation anyways, and he ended up getting saved. That was a blessing. Another blessing was, Ruth and I came across a Jehovah's Witness house, and there were a lot of those in the area where we were. But we went to the house, and, you know, at first it was a man who answered the door, and he, you know, automatically started trying to, you know, hit us with the Jehovah's Witness doctrine and all that stuff. And we heard, you know, obviously, like, I think it was probably Brother Parsons or someone was saying that, you know, that we shouldn't get stuck just arguing with Jehovah's Witnesses, and we should just move on, you know, because maybe the house down the road is one who is, you know, ready to get saved. And so, you know, I remember that. I, you know, we cut it short. We're like, okay, you know, we'll have a good day, you know. And then we went in the next house. I was going to be the one who was talking, and I was like, you know what, I have a feeling that this person's going to get saved. And she did. She was a younger mom, and she got saved, and that was a blessing to just see how the Lord was working there. One special blessing to me was that Brother Bentecourt was, you know, just leading people to the Lord, and last year he went on a soul winning marathon as well. And at that time, he really could barely speak any English, and I think he was able to lead one person to the Lord in Spanish last year, but this year he was, like, so on fire, and he was such a great encouragement to us and had a great attitude about it, and it was just a blessing. But I thank you guys, everyone, for praying. It was, you know, a huge blessing. I know the Lord's hand was upon all the soul winning marathon.
Amen. Again, I pray, church, if you'll continue to pray that the work that we've done there and that you invested in and the college going there, 72 souls were saved. Many people heard the gospel and maybe did not receive it. We got cards on them and tried to give them the gospel and tried to get them to go to church. And many of them, again, some people were already saved. They just had no idea there was a good church in the area to go to. And so, again, you know, continue to pray. They're a small church, brand new church plant, and they're trying to follow up on all those people. And Brother Hobbs is one of our graduates, and we're proud of him, and we're proud of what he's, where he's at and what he's doing. And so continue to pray for him there. And again, I don't think we mentioned it during the announcements, but Brother Pitts came up, and one of our graduates, actually two of our graduates, Brother Trumpo, who is in the Philippines, has another one of our graduates that bought, or his church invested and got a container of Bibles, and he went over to be with him and to distribute those Bibles. His name is Chad Stanley. You may have heard of him before, and he is my friend, and they are over there right now. And I think as of right now, to this count, it's been since Sunday till now, they've had about 500 people saved in the meetings that they've had just this week. And so again, you know, looking at the work, sometimes when we go out soul winning, and thank God here just tonight, the teens had 7 saved, amen? But sometimes it seems like it, you know, soul winning doesn't work and things, you know, I knock on all these doors and I don't get to, but again, it works if we work it. Amen. And sometimes you may have a dry day, and sometimes you may have, it may pour on you, and you may have wonderful, but we need to keep working it. And amen. And no matter the results, we just need to keep witnessing and keep witnessing and keep witnessing. And thank God for the work that's being done. Sometimes we get thinking that nobody's doing anything but us. Amen. And it's getting done all over the place. Amen. We've got, you know, I thank God for the years the college has been here and trained young people. And we got preacher boys everywhere, amen, and my preacher does, amen, this church does, and I are one, and you're going to hear from one tonight, amen. All you English majors, you hated that, didn't you? Praise the Lord, amen. But again, let me say tonight, church, I thank you for you sending us, and again, being able to listen. I hope you were encouraged by those testimonies, but tonight, in the time that we have left, I've asked Brother Tim Manis to come, and he is one of our graduates. He's a professor at our college, and he is my friend and a graduate. Come on and preach to us, my brother.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. They got the lapel mic. I believe it's going, so I'm going to push this down out of the way, and I will not keep you long tonight. Why don't you turn, if you would, to Genesis. Who said amen to that? Amen. I've got a pew. I've got my wife and my mother-in-law is here, and you guys have no idea the restraint that I'm going to have to practice tonight. You guys, I don't know how, but it seems like every time I preach here at Landmark, my mother-in-law is here. And then people get on to me for making mother-in-law jokes, and I mean, she's right there. I mean, how do you not do it? But I'm going to refrain, amen? Genesis chapter 30, we're going to be quick tonight, and to Wednesday nights are typically a Bible study night, and we're going to do a little bit of a study, but I am wearing a lapel, so I do plan on doing a little bit of preaching, amen, in some of these points. But and most of those of us who work at Landmark, your job is to do whatever it is that the preacher wants you to do, amen? And you need to have that attitude, and we accept that attitude coming to Landmark. And one of the things that happened this year that's been a change for me that I've never done before is I have had the privilege and opportunity and burden to preach English to the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders at the high school. And I enjoy it, and some of them are here tonight, and they're like, oh, great, he's going to try to teach us English from the pulpit. And that's not necessarily the case, but as I came into that role and come into a little bit of a teaching role, I did some studying on teaching, but also I did a little bit of studying on the reciprocation of teaching, and that is the idea of learning. And learning is something that we take for granted a lot of times. But I looked up the word learn in the Bible, and that's what I want to go over tonight. So in Genesis chapter 30, this is the first time that the word learn is used in any way, shape, or form in the Bible. And we're just going to get a couple ideas out of this, and we're going to move quickly. And all things that we can apply, not just school-age people, that all of us as God's children can apply to our lives. And so I just want to talk about this real quick in Genesis chapter 30. And we're going to look at verse 27, and this is the story of Jacob and Laban. And Jacob, we know, went to Laban's house and worked 14 years for his two wives that he got, and Leah and Rachel. And so we know the story, and the first time we see this word learn in the Bible, in chapter 30, verse 27, read it with me if you would. It says, "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." And the first point I want to teach and preach to you tonight is we need to learn to pick out good friends. That applies for every age group. Pick out good friends. Now, this isn't necessarily a friend relationship here. And Laban is talking to his son-in-law, and I'm sure he wants to stay for other reasons, grandchildren, all that good stuff. But Laban learned, he said, I know this. He said, when I'm with you, I get better blessings. I've learned this by experience. You know, even Benjamin Franklin talked about it, and he would hang out with godly people and Christians and people that attended church and did all those things because he learned that he received more blessings being with them than hanging out with the other crowd down at the taverns and all that good stuff that they had. And he found out that I can hang out with good people and get better things from it. And I tell you, listen, you school age, you get older, you are going to be who you hang out with. Amen? Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with video games, moderation, all that stuff, but if you hang out with video game junkies, you're going to be a video game junkie. No matter how old you are. I've met people 40 years old, they're video game junkies. It's like, come on, grow up, get with some friends and do something productive, make friends with good people, learn how to pick out friends, good friends, right friends. And the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, very clear, it says, be not unequally yoked with them that are unbelievers. That's for every age group. That's not just concerning marriage. Unequally yoked, that means you're tied up with them. You're hanging out with them. You're communicating with them on a continual basis. Hey, learn to pick out good friends. We'll move on. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. This one is a little bit for the school age, but also for those as you get a little bit older, and that's to learn to speak and do. This one I will pick up my English class a little bit. They say, why do we have to learn English? And everybody has asked that at some point in their time or another. I was a teenager. I was homeschooled. I remember asking my mom, why in the world do I need to do this? I don't need to know what a preposition is. I don't need to know what a predicate nominative, predicate adjective, and all that stuff. And to those English teachers, Miss Harvey was my English teacher in college, and Brother Stanley's, but he has no evidence of it. Amen? You can tell him that later, and he'll be proud of it. Amen? But Acts chapter 7, verse 22, the Bible says, and Moses was learned and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I want you to look at this. It says, and was mighty in words and in deeds. He was mighty in words, and that's vocabulary. That's putting the words together and using them for something. Right. You remember, there was only one man in the Bible who said, Lord, do you really think this is the way it should go down? He talked to the Lord as a friend would talk to the Lord. There was a man in the Bible who led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, who took them through the desert and led them in ways that no other person probably could do because God picked him out for that. And God knew as he prepared and developed him, even in the land of Egypt, he says, I need him to be mighty in word and in deed. I need him to be an orator. I need him to be somebody that can speak to the crowd and that can use his words. The Bible says he was also mighty in deeds. You know, when you think about words, okay, I think about English, I think about even grammar, young people, I think about vocabulary, I think about those things, spelling, it's important that you learn how to spell, but then the Bible says indeed, that's in science and in math, being able to add and subtract without a calculator, amen? Being able to do all those things that are necessary. It says that he learned to speak and to do, and he was mighty in word and in deed. Boy, he could speak and captivate an audience because he took the time to learn. Even for us, you know, I, throughout my entire day school, grade school, whatever you want to call it, I was homeschooled. I never really learned English, okay? When I went to college, I had to take English 100, you know, the one you don't get any credits for, you still have to pay for it, amen? And it's the teacher knows that you know absolutely nothing about English. They're like, this is a noun. A person, place, thing, or idea, okay? And so, but as I learned, I decided I had to make up a mind, in my mind, I'm going to learn this. And that's the thing about learning. So teaching, that's something we do. That's at the day school from 8, 9, and 10 o'clock, my job is to teach. That is my job. It's to teach. That's what I do. My job is to give the information. The word learn, if you look, it's defined in Webster's dictionary as to receive information, to receive knowledge. You know, it's just like a Christmas gift. If I bring a Christmas gift to you, and if I give it to Brother Parsons, what have I got? I've got a Zaxby's gift card. I don't know how much is on it, but if this is a gift, I'm not giving it to you. Amen? But if this is a gift, I have to give it to him. But in order for him to receive it, he actually has to accept it. Right? That's what learning is. Learning is you making up a mind, I'm going to accept this information and apply it to my life. I'm going to use it. It's still there. Amen. And but I'm going to receive it. I'm not just going to shut it off. And I know there are times when it's like that. We've all done that. There have all been times when somebody's teaching and we're like, oh, I already know this, and we just shut them off. We all do that from time to time. We shouldn't, but we do. But we should always be at a place where we're ready to learn. Boy, I've got to move on. Amen. All right. Let's skip down. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. We'll skip back a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to skip one of my points. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. This one is definitely for everybody. We're actually going to read verse 9 and 10. He says this. He says, only take heed. I'm sorry. I still hear some pages turning. I apologize. I'm getting in a hurry. Look at the clock, and I say, oh, my soul. I've got to move on. Verse 9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And he says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. It says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. We got to come to a place where we learn to fear the Lord. You know, all of us know we ought to fear the Lord, but how many of us have learned that and applied it to ourselves? He says, teach it to thy sons. And then he says that the Lord commanded on that day, he said, to learn to fear me. To actually make a decision from this day forward in every action that I'm going to do, I'm going to do it God-fearing. And every time I pick up my cell phone and decide what I'm going to surf on the internet, I'm going to be God-fearing about it. The next time I go to talk to somebody and to speak, whether it be you're at school, you're at church, next time I have the temptation to gossip, because we all have those temptations, I need to be God-fearing in the words that I speak. You have to learn to do that. You have to make a conscious decision. I am going to apply this to my life. I'm going to use this. This is information I'm going to take and apply. Learn to fear the Lord. Let's move on. I got two more real quick. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. This is something we all ought to apply to ourselves. It's Bible study night. I hear the pages flipping, and that makes me so happy. Amen. Makes me so happy to hear people searching through their Bibles. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. It says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We ought to learn to do good works. I understand this, and we as Baptists, we know, we understand, you are not saved by good works. You cannot perform enough good works to get to heaven. But once you are saved, you ought to do all the good works you can for the children of God and to reach the lost that are dying and going to hell. That's our goal. That's our job. That's what we are to do, good works. He says that you be not unfruitful. Learn to be fruitful. Learn to do good works. Last one is where I want to spend the most of the time tonight. We're going to stay close by. I'm going to read you a verse from Jeremiah, but in the meantime, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. He says, thus saith the Lord, he says, learn not the way of the heathen. There's a lot of things we ought to learn, but there are many things that we should not learn. Many things we need to stay away from. As I was doing this word study and going through different things, I looked in Noah Webster's dictionary, and Noah Webster said this. He said, it is much easier to learn the right thing than to unlearn the wrong thing. Now, I come across that all the time in teaching English. I was talking to the students today. They kept wanting to do would of, like would, then the word of. And even though they pronounce it like that all the time, that is improper grammar. Okay, now I'm not getting into... It was apostrophe V-E, would have, okay? It's different things, okay? I'm not going to get into all that. But the hardest thing is to train them, you should not do that anymore. You shouldn't write it like that anymore. You shouldn't text it like that anymore because that's improper grammar. We do that in our Christian life all the time. We have learned so many things that we need to unlearn. So many habits that we have established that we need to unlearn. And so Jeremiah says, learn not the way of the heathen. Don't adapt yourself to it. You've got to learn. Parents, you have to learn how you ought to raise your children in godly things. If you weren't raised that way, you've got to learn this is what's godly, this is what's ungodly. This may be normal according to the world. This may be the way that they do it, completely acceptable in society. But God says, no, that's wrong. It's a sin. You stay away from it. Turn with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Most of you are there. We'll read three verses here, and we're going to end here. Looks like I'm going to get out of time, Brother Parsons. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Unlearned, the vanity of their mind, just the simplicity. It says, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I want you, especially you young people, look, you guys think the life of God is a life of poverty and a life of no fun, and the Bible restricts everything that I do and says I can't do this and can't do that. The Bible says here that you're alienated from the life of God, from the things of God, from the blessings of God, from serving Him in His will and enjoying life to its fullest extent. You're alienated because of ignorance. I want you to go down a little bit farther with me. It says here, verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Boy, we are in a generation where everybody wants everything. Me, me, me. I want everything I can get. And that is wrong. That is contrary to the things of God. Verse 20, it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is. And I'm sorry, I skipped verse, I read 21. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You know, all those ungodly attributes that we have learned from the influences of the world and all the things that are around us, he says, you haven't learned that from Christ. Boy, if we could just practice the things that we've learned from Christ and not from everybody else, we'd be in a lot better shape. But yet we've got all these influences that we've allowed to come into our life. And again, remember I told you when we talked about the word learn, it's acknowledging that you want to receive it and apply it and use it. And you did that for your favorite television program, for the way you spend your money, for the way that you spend your time, where you spend your time Sunday night and Wednesday night, if it's not in church. You learned that. But here he says you didn't learn that from Christ. You didn't learn all those things from Christ. He says right there, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. That's not what you learned out of the Bible from the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, I just wanted to challenge you as I thought about this word learn. Thought about teaching, but so what's on the opposite end of teaching? And that is learning. And the more I studied about learning, I said, man, I've got so much learning to do. I think every one of us, each and every one of us do. I think we could all look at the points that we saw tonight in the Bible and say, boy, I need to learn about what friends I should be hanging out with. I need to learn about how I should be treating the things of God. I need to learn to fear God. Boy, some of us don't think about God hardly any through as we go throughout the day. And shame on us. So let me just ask you tonight as we get ready to close, I don't know if we're going to have an invitation necessary, but as we get ready to go our separate ways and you go throughout your night and you're going to bed, ask yourself this: what is it that I need to learn, and what do I need to unlearn? What do I need to just put out of my life? I just want you to think on those things. Brother Parson's going to come and take over at this point. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. Pray for the students tomorrow as they go throughout the fine arts competition. They need it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Parsons.
Would you bow your head with me? If you're going to have an invitation tonight, we have a couple minutes. And would you bow your heads with me for just a minute as the pianist comes and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, would you do this for me tonight? I would be remiss. You know, there's so many students in this room. Maybe you need to say, boy, I should have been a better student. Would you slip out? Man, Lord, help me to be that. Lord, help me to learn. People invest in me and teach me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a teacher. And you say, man, I didn't realize how serious this is. I didn't realize what I need to invest in them. How big a deal this is. I need to invest in them. I'm going to give them the best chance that they can to learn if they'll give it a shot, if they'll give themselves to it. Maybe you're here and tonight you're not saved and you've not learned Christ. You don't know if you died today that you go to heaven. You're not sure of that. You don't have 100% know-so salvation. Maybe you're hearing you say, Brother Parsons, I don't even know that that can be so. I don't even know that you can have that kind of salvation. The Bible says we can. Listen, if you're here, would you step out and walk an aisle? Come down front and take Brother Perkins' hand and say, I want to know that. I want to learn Christ tonight. I want to learn about salvation. Would you step out and come if the Lord spoke to your heart? There's many at the altar. Would you do this? If you're with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand with us and sing with Brother Burt?
I have desired.